Hi, this is Vienna Tang, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Jeff Hamlin. He's an energy worker, but he works with many, many metaphysical modalities. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike.
Great. I'm glad you're here. I know you have a lot to say. And the thing that I want to start off with is you've been interested in metaphysics for a very long time. How did you get started with that?
Well, it all started when I was probably 3 years old. I didn't realize I was going to be interested, but it all probably started then because I am somebody that will see reflections and scry, and when I would get upset, I would see reflections in mirrors and stuff, and I didn't understand it at the time. And, you know, then one summer, I was in the little kids' pool, and I was seeing everything was fine, and I was happy. And then till my mom picked me up, decided she was going to put me in the adult pool, and it caused a reaction where I was getting very upset about it, thinking I'm going to see something. And I knew this, and so anyway, I went over to the pool, and sure enough, there is reflections of faces in the pool, and I pulled my head back up and was basically fighting with my mom to put me down, and she finally put me back, like, you know, you're going to get in this pool because it's time for you to get in, and you're four, you know, now, you know, and I'm like, well, I am not getting in the pool, and I seen the faces all changed in different directions. Like, they weren't hideous, they were just faces and everything. And so finally she just kind of put me in the pool, and then I was fine with it. They all dispersed, and they all were, like, gone, you know. It was like kind of like the water moved and everything moved, and then I had a good time in there. And then you know, I couldn't tell her that I was seeing these things because I was raised in a certain kind of, you know, religion. And, you know, in this religion, if you go ahead and you start talking about stuff like this, you might be told you are going to go to hell if you talk about stuff like this, which really scared me. So I kept it to myself all of these years until I was, you know, 17. I never told them yet. Still, I told my mother at the end, pretty much of her life, that this is what I had seen and what had happened. And she's always, wow, that's what happened to you? And I told her, yes, you know, it's like I didn't want to go in the pool because of this, you know. And so, and then this is leading to where I, you know, start working with energy, you know.
But before we go any further, I want to find out, what kind of faces were you seeing? Were they adult faces, children's faces? What kind of faces were you seeing?
I was seeing adult faces, and not really little kids' faces. I don't remember that. You know, and I was four, so it's like a flash, like a camera flash. That's what it is in my mind. But
right,
I remember seeing it, and I remember the day like you would remember, like, a very special birthday or something, because right, it was so traumatic at the time, you know. And I had to work through that again and always be careful when I was in the house. When I would get upset, I started realizing, if I get upset, I gotta not look in the mirrors, because if I look in mirrors or anything that reflects, I would maybe see something if I'm upset. And it explains another story where my dad wanted me to come fishing and go on this dock. And when I would look in the water, I would see faces or images or scenes of something that it wasn't the sky that was reflecting. It was something else. And I wouldn't go on this. I wouldn't go on the tactical fishing. And he was wondering what was the matter. And my mom and the whole family's like, come on out here. We're fishing. Right. You know,
what's your problem?
You know, yeah. And my problem wasn't really a problem. It was just part of me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I naturally scry. And I scry when I would be upset about something.
Okay. What does scry mean?
Scrying is a way of seeing things that are in basically kind of like the astral plane or something like that. It's kind of like I have it written down what I wanted to say about it. Anyway, scrying is kind of like you just see things other than here that you wouldn't normally see. Mm-hmm. And people wouldn't understand it. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like normal people that don't do this would not understand it and kind of would be worried and a little upset about it if you told them, you know.
Did you recognize any of these faces? Were they familiar to you at all?
Not really. It was just strangers. Mm-hmm. of faces that were in this, you know, that were in the pool. And it on this dock when I was going when I was trying to go fishing, I tried to make myself go, but I couldn't, and I was really upset. So mm-hmm. I, you know, just kind of went off and said, I'm just going to sit, you know. This is I'm now in like fifth grade, right? So I went through so much, and all of a sudden I'm in fifth grade, and then it just kept going on. And in school, I was having a problem going to school. I was having problem leaving my house because I was never understanding what was going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that was going on until mm-hmm. I turned about, I had to grow with it, you know, I sat on this porch, on my front porch for like a whole summer, not going anywhere, because just playing my guitar, learning my guitar. Well, I learned my guitar real well, and I had some buddies come over, and we were playing on my porch, but they couldn't figure out, why won't you leave the porch? And I wouldn't tell anybody what was going on, and never understanding it was pretty hard, you know. So I was having problems with my studies and everything else, and then so by the time I was 17 or whatever and I managed to get my own vehicle, I started my search. And I started going to metaphysical bookstores. And I talked to this most amazing person named Paul Hudson at Middle Earth Bookstore. And it was, he's no longer there. He's long gone. I don't know where he is. But he explained to me, you naturally scry and see things from the astral plane, someplace other than here, where things, it's like that veil is so, he said that veil is so thin from where we are as physical beings to where we get to as spiritual beings, and that's what you're seeing. And I was like, so it's okay, so the word is clairvoyance. That's what I was going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a form of clairvoyance, and that's what I was seeing ever since I was, like, I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you would even go to school and go into the boys' room, so to speak, and, again, see these different faces whenever you looked in any type of mirror?
Well, it could be faces, or it could be scenes, or mm-hmm. it could be warnings, or it could be whatever, but it could be not in the full mirror. It might be in just part of the mirror, or, like, in a corner, or, like, it's hard to describe. It just would cloud over, and then all of a sudden you'd see something,
mm-hmm.
like really quick, like cloud over, and boom, it's right there, and you would, it would catch you off guard. You know what I mean? And so, being kind of like sensitive about it, like sensitive meaning in a way, like you're a sensitive, so that means you can do these things or it just naturally happens. You know what I mean? And so I didn't know that at the time. Now I do because, you know, my instructor in my at school told me what it all was about, you know. But I was also told by the person at the bookstore about it. And he helped me to realize, like a mentor would, you know, like what's going on. And then I started really getting interested in everything, like everything metaphysical and everything, and hid it from my family because, you know, about the thing that they would be thinking is you're going to go to hell if you, you know.
But it must have been a bit of a relief to finally discover what was going on with you, right? What you had been experiencing?
Yeah, because, see, it's a part of you. It's like, just like anything else that happens in anybody's life is a part of them, it becomes a part, it's just a part of you since birth. And, you know, maybe it's something from a past life, and I didn't realize it, but, you know, it's like, it's with you, it's been part of you all this time. How can it be something that some God is going to drag you to hell, some bloodthirsty God's going to drag you to hell? That doesn't make sense to me. What I know is that there's something else other out there other than what we've been told. That's what I'm trying to get across. There's something else out there other than what we've been told, and I realize this, you know? And I realize the energy all behind it is pretty powerful, you know? And
so. Yeah, very powerful. And just real briefly, I want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Jeff Hamlin. He's an energy worker, and he also works with different metaphysical modalities, and we're going to get into some of those as well, as well as the energy work that he's doing. But now, you kind of touched on the fact that your family was not accepting of this, so you were the only one that was experiencing this in your family?
Yeah, they didn't even have a clue. Like, my mother didn't know it until she was 80.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you said, just before she passed?
Yeah, I told her, you know, this is what happened. She said, I was wondering what was going on that day. I had no idea. I wouldn't have done that to you if I would have known that, because she was always an angel to me, and very precious and very sweet, and my dad was a good person too, you know, but they were always very much going to Sunday church, you know, church on Sunday, and you know, all this. And I realized that whatever the minister was saying, I realized that there was something else other than what he was saying, but, you know, I kept it to myself. And it's hard to.
Right.
It's hard to, when you're a kid, keeping this all in.
Right. Well, it's got to be scary, especially when people are telling you, you know, bad things that are going to happen to you if you keep expressing yourself. That would, I would imagine, tend to make you quiet and not want to speak up about what you're experiencing.
Right. And I never did. I mean, like, I only did to people that I trusted them, like, that I met. Like, for instance, the person that owned the Middle Earth bookstore, I'd go in there every Saturday before band practice, you know, and I would get my hands on as many books as I possibly could, and he understood what was going on and let me do it. And I would sit in there all Saturday afternoon at this time, and this was in the 80s, and it turned into the 90s and all that, and I was in there sitting, and he was talking to me, and a very interesting place, and he helped me to understand what was going on, and that it is just part of you, and you just got to accept it, and, you know, not be afraid, and just, you know, let it flow. And so when he told me to let it flow, and you're able to do whatever, you know, then I have always been searching for a certain group that is called the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis group, and always thought it was an imaginary group, never knew that it was real, always thought that it was someplace that you had to meditate to get to, but it was really physical, and you could actually be part of this group. Well, I am part of this group, and they had done a, we had done a ritual, which it's a metaphysical group. We had done a ritual that has to do with bringing forth your will. And it was kind of like a magical thing. And, you know, the thing about bringing forth your will is soon as you start doing it, you're a happier person. And to suppress your will, you become an unhappy person, and you can become depressed. And, you know, it's like, so how long would you give a baby to walk? You know, how much time would you give a baby to walk? You know what I mean? That's one of the things that I think about with it. Like, how long would you give the time for a baby to walk? You would just let the baby... You give it enough time so it learns
right.
to walk.
Right,
so
it develops on its own.
So that's so I was developing this bringing forth your will thing.
Well, how did you find out about the OTO?
I started, well, all of a sudden I just thought I had the computer and I was thinking, I'm just going to punch it in and see if it's real. So I punched it in and I found that it was, and I found members and I found where there's a meetup, which is at a Coney Island place, and they would have a back room, and what happened is the doors would be shut, and they'd have a back room, and nothing was going on but just a discussion, and then they would go to a Unitarian church to have this Gnostic Mass, which I participated in, which has to do with bringing forth your will, and a few of the ancient beings of Egypt would be talked about in this ritual. And one of them represents a baby, which is considered your will. Okay, so you nurture this baby, which they're letting you do, and this baby is your will, and you continually, you promise to these beings that you are going to nurture this baby, which is your will, so you keep so then they say back, like, they're basically saying back to you that, all right, since you're making this promise to us, we'll make this promise to you that we'll keep propelling you forward. So as long as you keep bringing forth your will, you will keep, like, having good situations happen. Mm-hmm. Like, this right here was something I couldn't even imagine.
Right, but by your will, are you talking about a person's soul, or what do you exactly mean by will?
Well, it's using your will to basically say if you're presented with a situation, you have to quickly think, will this be a good thing or a bad thing? If it's a good thing, you bring forth your will right then and say yes to it. You know, like Lynn presented this opportunity, you know, to me and said, I'm gonna have you call Mike, you know.
And I just want to say that Lynn is a mutual acquaintance of ours who is also interested in this type of thing, healing and metaphysics. And she knew Jeff, and one thing led to another, and that's how Jeff got to be on the show. It was through Lynn, so... I just want to give people that background.
Okay, so anyway, so when I walked out of that ritual and I walked out of the Gnostic Mass, I was told by one of the guys there, Michael McMahon, he told me, watch and see what happens now. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, just watch and see what happens now. People will come into your life that needs to be there. People will fall to the wayside that do not need to be there. They'll move out of the way. Nobody's hurt. It's not anything about hurting or anything like that. It's just, it's all about bending the world at your will. That's what bringing forth the will basically is. So, so it actually happened. I went to culinary. I was in culinary school, and I was having a very... I could cook, I could do all this stuff, but I was having a very hard time with it because there is a few chefs that weren't too actually really, really nice to you, you know? It was like that one program on TV. I can't really, I probably shouldn't mention it, but you know, the guy's yelling.
Yeah, right. Okay. Isn't it Gordon Ramsay or something like that?
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, yeah, and he's got a couple other programs on, but yes, he can be rather abusive, you know, but so, that's part of his style.
Yeah, so I was in there, and this is what made this happen with this other school. I was in there, and this one bakery chef started hitting this dough and saying things like, you'll never see your family, you'll never see your kids, you'll never do this, you'll never do that, you'll get up at 2 in the morning.
Just out of the blue he started this?
Yeah, and that's because... That I believe that is because of this ritual. Because what I was told, watch and see what happens now. In 3 days, everything seems to happen in 3 days when I decide to bring forth my will. And I went to culinary school, had no idea this guy was going to start spurting and spewing forth all these things. He started talking about everything that was bad about the business. And I immediately made a decision which brought forth my will and said, I need to get out of this. If I stay in this, I'm going to be just as nuts as he is and not happy or anything. And I want to be happy. I don't want to leave one situation that I'm not happy with and get into an even more stressful situation. So as I was walking out, then all of a sudden I was contemplating, what do I do next? And this was October of 2012. So what happened was these two chefs, the coordinator and this other one, came up to me and told me, you know, we know of a place that we go and get body work done, and we go get energy work done, and we go get massages, okay? So, and orthopedic work done on your body and stuff. And I'm like, really? And they said, it's more peaceful for you. You're more... of a peaceful person. You don't need the stress of making dinners and breakfast, you know, and lunches and all this for 300 people at a
time.
Right.
There can be a lot of pressure in the restaurant business. I don't know if people realize that or not, but there is some definite stress.
Yeah, so I talked to the culinary students in there after he spouted off and said things, and I just kind of clapped my hands like this, and he's like, what are you doing? And I said, I don't agree with you. I mean, I agree. I'm not going to stay here. I understand what you're telling me. This is not good for me. And he's like, what are you talking about? You know, and I said, this isn't good for me. If I stay here, I'm going to be like you in, you know, 10 years. And I want to be like you. And he's like, you can't talk to me that way. And I'm like, well, I'm quitting.
I just did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pulling out of the program. I'm going to keep my grade point average, but I'm pulling out. And so... that's exactly what I did, and as I was going, other people were listening to me, and there was like five other people that followed me out of that class and quit, because they realized, if we do stay, we're going to be like him, we have to figure out something else. I've never seen these people after that, but I know that they all like got out of the program, and I definitely did, and these other chefs told me about this other school. I don't know if I can mention the school.
Go ahead.
Well, it's Irene's Myomassology Institute, and it's an awesome school to go to. It's an institute, and you're there for, you can be for a two-year program, a year program, or a accelerated program, which would be really hard to do, but I did the year program all last year, and I graduate next Wednesday. But guess what's happening? I'm already apprenticing. And I'm really happy about it. It's something I wanted, and somebody presented that opportunity to me, and I said yes. I brought forth my will, said yes, and I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And other students are coming by me, like, wondering what's going on, and that were in my class that haven't finished up all their stuff yet. And I told them what I was doing, and they were like, well, good for you, you know? And I was like, thanks, you know? And they only have a few things left to do, and then they're going to be able to graduate next Wednesday, too. But, So now, this got really interesting when I went in there, you know.
Well, if I could just take a little break here, and I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Jeff Hamlin. He's an energy worker, but he also does different things with different metaphysical modalities. Now, I wanted to know, you said that once you attended this ritual that people would come and go into your life. Did you find that to be true? Did you experience that?
Oh, yeah, right away, within 3 days I did. Mm-hmm. They even told me within 3 days this will start happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it started happening.
People and left your life and came into your life?
Yeah, exactly. People that were wasting my time basically left.
Without you saying, you're wasting my time, they just somehow intuitively knew that they needed to get away from you or leave your life?
Or they just never showed up again. It was kind of like people fell to the wayside, and just like that chef started spewing forth stuff, within 3 days he started saying stuff. That was because, I believe, of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was walking out, contemplating what I'm going to do, the chefs presented this school to me, and then I realized, okay, this was in October, and by the time February happened, I had the money and everything to go to the school. I have more than half paid for the school, and some to pay for, because you have to give a little bit so in order for this all to keep working. And it's always you have to give a little bit of something. So I will owe some student loans, but not much. It's only like $3,000 or something, you know. But the rest was paid for, and I was pretty amazed. And I had done something which is a symbol, which is called sigil work. And you would write out the end result of a sentence of what you want in a sigil. And the whole thing, the reason why they work, you would write like, I need, or not I need, I have financial aid. I have everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's the end result, not ever I want, I want, I want. When you say I want, that's all you keep getting back is I want. You'll keep getting more of that reflecting back to you. This is I need, or I have financial aid. And mm-hmm. So
it's a type of affirmation then?
It was just, it's just something you know, and kind of you would write it out on paper. Take the double letters out of it. I don't know why you take the double letters out, but it spells out this really strange, just a line of letters that can form some kind that forms some kind of a word. And what happens is with this, you take the letters that are left and you bend it into a symbol. You take the letters in, like an I might fit on top of a T and dot it. And then say an M might come, like an M might come up where the I is, and it's attached to the part where the T crosses. And so it looks like this magical symbol and everything. And it's a sigil. And
what does that represent then?
It is attached to your subconscious. And your subconscious is really powerful. And it attaches itself to your subconscious. And you're supposed to actually forget about what you first put down on paper and let it work. And so I would let it work. And I... within 3 days, I had money for school.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does the symbol work in your life? I mean, does it just manifest itself with positive vibrations and that attracts positive things into your life?
Yeah, I seal it up in an envelope. I do not want anyone else looking at it. It's my own personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would seal it up in an envelope because I've heard things where somebody had done something that had to do with horses, right? And so somebody put it in a guitar case. And somebody else borrowed this guy's guitar, and he forgot that he had put it in an envelope in his guitar case where nobody would look. Well, this guy opened up this sigil, seen it, and it affected him where he was out gambling on horse racing. which is kind of funny, okay, and being obsessed with horsing, like horses and seeing horses and going to wherever horses were. So,
was he winning betting on horses at all?
No, he was just wasting his money. The person that put it into play was gaining, but the person that had opened it up and seen it was not. So it's kind of like something where it's only for your purposes, and you would just create this, and it's on the internet. I mean, people could look up sigil work, and they will see what I'm talking about.
How do you spell that?
It's S-I-G-I-L. So sigil.
Sigil, okay.
A sigil is a symbol. And I don't know if anybody is familiar with the Led Zeppelin number 4 album, but Jimmy Page, his symbol that everybody thinks is Zopho 01 is not really Zopho 01. It's a sigil. It's a symbol, a word that has to do with making it big, or his different astrological signs, but then also people, it was designed to, they didn't put their name on the fourth album, they just, it would be like, somebody would look at it and go, wow, and then turn it on to somebody else, they'd go, wow, and that's how it spread, and they became just larger than life that way, you know, I mean, and I believe it has to do with sigil work that he knew about, and everything else, and so, I heard about stuff like this, and I started trying it, and, you know, and I have it down to a science, basically, and so
you find that it works for you?
Yes, I find it really works for me really well, and so every time I need something, I'll create a sigil for it, and within 3 days, something starts to happen.
Something good, though, right?
Oh, something very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad to anybody else. And
can you just take abstract forms and put them together, and that would be your sigil, or not necessarily, or do they have to be letters? How does that work?
They exactly? have to be letters. It should be letters, because you spell out a word first, and then you take the double letters out, and then you would combine them in stretching them and turning them in a way where it looks magical. So then you put the like a square of an astrological square around it, which represents force or something, whatever, you know, and then put it in an envelope and seal it up and keep it in a box like I have over here that has pendulums in it and stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. and never let anybody look at them, you know. And
right. But some of these things, too, that you've been involved with, you said you were going back to the 80s and 90s, examining some of this, you know, metaphysical subjects and things like that. So some of these other things you're involved with, does that go back to the 80s and 90s that you discovered some other metaphysical things?
Well, the OTO goes back all the way to the turn of the century.
Right. Well, I just mean that you personally, I mean, you know, you're talking about, I see you have some stones here, and you're talking about the pendulums. I mean, when did you become interested in things like that?
I really became interested in crystals ever since I started looking for my answers.
Mm-hmm. So this would be the 80s and 90s is when you started to get into some of these other metaphysical areas.
1980s when I started really getting to break free from my family and go discover what I was trying to figure out. And I figured out quite well certain things that have helped me in life. And my daughter, Abigail, is out there, and she's tried to do sigils, and they worked for her. And it's just amazing what happens when you bring forth your will and you have a grain of faith behind it, you know, like, and you understand that faith can just do a lot, you know, and it's kind of like you are celebrating your life every time you create a sigil or bring forth your will. You celebrate your life more because good things happen, and you know, no, and I'm just amazed at it, you know, amazed at some of the things that have happened. And I've been on this quest with one of my friends, Jameson, for a while now, since I discovered the OTO, who he basically got me involved with. And get together often and do sigil work and learn more and all this other stuff, and then meet with the OTO and all this, and it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And you know, but I did a crystal healing on Jameson after I went to school, and I attended a class from Sue, this one instructor named Sue, Burton hit, I would say, Hildoga, I believe her name is, and she is all about energy, and she teaches Reiki, and she teaches chakra alignment, and crystal healing. And I understand Reiki a lot, and I want to become a Reiki master. I'm learning to do that right now. But I understand, I right away took to the crystal healing and the chakra alignment, and I used a combination of both to do this. And you get good results. I mean, Jameson didn't feel like doing this at the time that I was doing this, and he was like dragged out from work, and he's like, I don't know, I don't really want to do this. I just want to kind of kick back and not, you know, do this at all. And I said, no, but it's really going to be really neat, because I've had it done to me in school, and it was amazing. And so he got on the table, and I laid the crystals on him, and one side, I believe the right side is where the crystal goes up. So you put one in their hand, and they hold on to it during the whole time. And then you lay one on the arm going up. The point of the crystal is going up. And then it goes around where your head is, and you have certain crystals coming back down then, facing downward, the points facing downward. So you get this loop going of energy. And an amazing thing happened where he's kind of participating with it, and this really sold me on the whole thing. When I seen what I seen, I already could clairvoyantly see somewhat auras, but what I seen this time was nothing like I've ever seen before. So Jameson is on this table, and all of a sudden I'm working with him, and I have all the stones laid. Like, for instance, you would have at the top of where supposedly the crown chakra is your spiritual chakra, you would put quartz crystal. On the third eye, you would put an amethyst crystal, because it resonates with that certain spot on the body, and it's like a key that just opens up the chakra. So it couldn't do anything but open it up. I mean, nobody can resist it. Nobody could, you know, nobody could do anything except, how can I explain it? When you put it on a person, it does nothing but open up like a key. It's like opening a door, whether they want it or not. They're laying there and they're saying, you know, they're ready to receive this healing that's going on. But the whole thing is, when you put the crystals on, it just opens up everything like a key. So there's the chakras get opened right up no matter what. And then, you know, it's like, I just wanted to discuss this and tell you this, that when you're a small child, your energy's perfect. And then you start going to school, or you're at home with your sisters or siblings or whatever, and brother and whatever, and mom and dad, and you get told no a few times, and somebody might even correct you by giving you a spanking or something like that. When, you know, I'm old enough during the time where we were getting spankings probably once in a while when we weren't so good. And what happens is with those spankings and with people telling you no and not saying yes to life and, you know, no and denying you, you're not trying to be a spoiled brat, but what happens is your chakras start to close down and your energy starts to close down. And without energy, we don't live. Like a tree has energy going through it. If a tree didn't have energy, it wouldn't live. It dies. Well, it's the same thing with a human person. If they don't have energy, they die. So it's an important thing to realize that if you are not feeling very energetic or whatever, it's really good to go get crystal healings and chakra alignments and even Reiki done. But with the energy thing, it's like Jameson was on there, laying there, and I had seen this white smoke all of a sudden start to go around him, all right? And he's always a calm person, so it was like pretty wild to see, and it was like this white cotton. It looked like cotton to me, but usually you would not see that. There was a little bit of indigo in there, but that's usually what an aura would have if they're in, like, balance. But so I seen a little bit of indigo through this smoke, and what would happen, what was coming out of the smoke was like pins of thousands of pins of like radiating light shooting everywhere, like it would be gold and it would be silver light shining throughout this cotton ball that was kind of it was a cloud, but it looked like cotton to me. The way I was seeing it, and you are making contact with the person as you're doing this chakra alignment and crystal healing by just on the toes of a person. You have to go to each toe, and then you go back down, and you go back up three times to do this thoroughly and effectively. So,
okay, just I want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Jeff Hamlin. He's an energy worker, and he works with many metaphysical modalities. Now, when you're seeing all this going around the person you're working on, what was your reaction? Were you scared or interested, or what was your impression as to what was going on?
Well, since I've seen so much during my life of spiritual stuff, you know, and spiritual beings or whatever it may be, it's hard to express that, you know, but when I'm seeing it, I don't react anymore. I just kind of go, wow, you know. I don't get too overly excited, because then when you get too overly excited about something that maybe you helped produce, you lose it. It just goes away. You know, you won't scry no more or nothing. You won't see something from the other side. You know, it's just, you can't get overly excited. It's kind of like the way it works. You have to calm your mind. And it's like seeing through the person instead of at the person. Looking at the person, you see through the person. And all of a sudden, it just started happening. And when it was all over with, I also did a chakra alignment where you have to go counterclockwise, or you have to go clockwise with each, you know, as you're doing the chakras, each chakra, which I mentioned, going up the body, there's seven, but I guess they've found more, but I only use like the seven with the stones that resonate with the chakra color and the chakra and everything else, or the chakra resonates with that color of stone. But you open them up by just going around three times clockwise, and then you manipulate the electromagnetic energy that's all around us. I manipulate it as reach up, pull it down, like I picture a ball of light that I'm pulling down, and then I start, like I was explaining to you yesterday kind of on the phone, that you, as soon as you do this, it starts to spiral in front of you, and in my mind's eye, whenever I will sit there and I'll go like this around with it until I'll actually close my eyes, kind of until I finally feel it's like I've concentrated so much just by keeping my hands like this that the electromagnetic energy becomes almost like physical.
Right. By your hands, though, I mean, do your hands just hover above it, or what do you mean by using your hands?
Well, they're both kind of, what would you call that, the way I'm holding them right now?
Well, you're just holding them out straight to your side. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, is it really something where you move your hands over an object or a person or anything?
It happens after you see this. Okay, so you're you're moving it around like you're trying to feel a beach ball type effect. Okay, and so I will move my hand all the way around like this sphere, and just keep encircling my hands around it and trying to feel what I'm working with. And when I finally feel like a squishiness that I all of a sudden concentrated so much of this energy, you can actually feel it, I'll place it into the chakra just by like putting my hands down, taking that ball of light. And when I see it finally as light, I'll place it in the chakra. And I'll go throughout the body three times, placing each one, taking your time with that ball of light and picturing it, feeling to see if you can feel a beach ball type effect, and then placing it in to the person. And when it's all over with, when Jameson got up, he said, "Oh my God, I feel angelic. I've never felt like this ever in my life. I've never felt this way." And for a month, he felt really, really good. And everything was working. And what I'm saying is, basically, when you're working with the energy and when you're doing that to somebody, you're actually healing their body too. Like if they might have a disease going on, it might actually clear out that disease and all the negativity. And I was going to say, even before I start to work on somebody, I picture this like negativity, which I consider it a black color. I consider a drain underneath the table that I'm working on, the massage table or whatever you might call it, and I'll see a drain under the table, and I'll see the person draining of any negativity into that drain all the way down through the mortar and floor and everything else to the very ground where the house is built on, and I'll let it disperse there. I'll picture it, I'll visualize it. And then when I finally see a basic like light flash, like in my head I'll see a light flash that's like a lightning bolt, you know, come from both the bottom and the top, from the bottom of the bed to the top of the bed, and meet with the person's body, then I know I can work on them. So I know that then they're cleared, and then I ground myself by just making sure that my legs are planted, and then I picture roots growing from my feet into the ground, basically, so I'm grounded, so I don't pick up any of their negative energy if there was any left over, and I only allow so much to go, like, from my wrist, basically. I don't let any more go up into my body. I'll stop it right there. There's boundaries where I'll let it go, and I picture that I keep it right there. And when I'm done, I actually brush it off. You can just brush it off with your hand and then go wash your hands of the negative energy. I mean, if you've picked up any. But I actually, so when he got up, he said that, and I've had a few other people. My daughter's had a crystal healing, and she was like, when she was on there, on the table, she was twitching and everything else.
Was that getting rid of some of the negativity?
Yeah, it was actually helping her heal, like whatever might have been going on at the time. Maybe it was something that a pulled muscle or something just started to move. I mean, I was watching her twitch and everything else, and she actually did one on me. She did a crystal healing on me. I taught her how to do it, and she did it on me, and it actually worked, and I felt really good for about a month, and now it's been a year, and I need one again,
because
I'm doing everybody else, but nobody's doing me. So
that's a personal problem right there.
Yes,
right
there. I have to have it done, you know.
Right. So now, for each chakra center, there is a different stone. Is that it?
Yeah, for each one. So, you know, like I was explaining, the purple like amethyst one will resonate with the third eye, which is just between your eyes. The you could basically put a few at the top. I like to start from the top. Some people like to start from the bottom, but my way of doing it is starting from the top. If you can see this diagram.
Well, I can see it. The audience can't, but
I know. I'm just trying to show you. Mm-hmm. Like, so I like to start from the top, working downwards, because I like to pull the good energy in. And by the time you get down and you've worked each one like three times, you know, crystal healing and then chakra alignment, placing light into that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're like a key that opens it up no matter what. It's like it opens up as long as you lay it, like, you know, right there. You know, it'll open it up, and then blue lace agate will go on the throat so you can speak more without hesitation or without being worried about what you're going to say. I would have never said these things on the air or anything to anybody if I didn't bring my will forth and realize that this actually has helped me to be... To speak it in school. And because I spoke it in school, people are actually like, the instructors are like, wow, I do energy work too. It's like, we need more energy workers in this world. It's like, everybody's so preoccupied with just the kinesthetic part of touching and working on bodies and bending limbs and everything else and to make the pain shut off. What about, you have to kind of touch the spirit first to be able to manipulate the rest of the body, actually. And that's something I also learned. And so, you know, I mean, I didn't mean to get off this, but you would put green on the heart chakra, or you could put rose quartz, and that's that has to do with the heart. And it would be like the sacral, the solar plexus chakra, you'd put citrine, okay, and citrine is yellow, and that resonates with that chakra and all the organs involved in that area. And carnelian would go where the, basically where the sacral chakra is where the carnelian would go. And then you'd put either jasper if a person needs more like stamina in basic, like if, you know, they need more stamina as in, you know, sexual endeavors with their mate or whatever, or you would put a grounding one, or you could put both, a hematite one, which is a darker color one, which grounds a person and makes them feel like grounded more and down to earth more and not so upset. And with each one, I just want to tell you there's a room. This stone's really a miracle stone to me. It's amber. And amber, I picture amber, like amber is this old prehistoric sap. And I picture amber like going in, I set amber at each one of the chakras now by the stones that are on the body, and pretend or imagine the amber liquefying and dripping into the chakra and filling that person with golden light. So I'm doing that all the time when I use it, and I get even better effects, you know, doing it that way. So, you know, it's like pretty amazing. You know, mm-hmm.
So I mean, not only are you doing something physical, but you're also having visuals as to what you're accomplishing with that body.
Yeah, I won't stop until it just naturally happens where I see something clairvoyant. Like I know that it's working. Like I can feel, you can feel this pulse going. If the person's like going 100 miles a minute around their body, you know they need to calm down. And they're not healing themselves. So when I can finally feel just a regular medium pulse going, you can feel it come into my hands, go back through their body, come back into my hands, go back through the body, come back into my hands. And then when I feel that happening and it's just like at a steady pace and it's very medium, then I know that I've achieved it, if I see something, then I know I've achieved it. Because not every time do I see always something clairvoyant, but I will feel the vibration of the going around in a circle thing, you know. So it's kind of interesting. You realize that they're all healed and set and all that, you know. And you can check the chakras with a pendulum. You hold it over the chakra, and if you say, is this chakra aligned? And if it says yes, it'll start to spiral. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. And if it says no, it'll just go back and forth, and that means you need more work done on it. So, And you can also use a pendulum to ask it questions and help you find things. By process of elimination, I found things I thought I had lost of my mother, pictures and everything that I thought were thrown away when I moved about, oh gosh, like probably in 08, you know. And I found it with a pendulum just by asking it questions on this, and I need to make my own wooden board, but I use this, just this little part says yes, no.
Right. Well, you're pointing to a chart here. Again, what is on that chart? I mean, how do you use that with the pendulum?
Okay, so this chart is it's not like a Ouija board. It's not that at all. Because your pendulum works with your subconscious mind, okay? So it will tell you the truth about things 99% or 98% of the time. Other times, if it feels like you're being too greedy, if you can trick yourself, you can actually become too greedy, and it will tell you yes just because, you know, it thinks, well, you need to be learned a lesson, you know. So anyway, with this board, you would take it and you would just hold over, you know, and it starts to shake, as you can see.
Right, but the board that you're talking about, or the chart you're using, what does that show? I mean, I see arrows pointing in different directions. Does that mean different answers?
So right now, if you look at it closely, this says ready to answer a question, basically. Mm-hmm. This says yes. This says don't want to answer, DWA. This says no on both sides. This says yes, and it'll. So if I say to it, okay, like if I say to it, you know, my birthday's July 13th or July 12th. Okay, if I say to it, my birthday's July 13th, it'll tell me no. You know, so I need to ask a question. So I'll just say that to it, and it starts. As you can see, it starts to rock, and my hand is still. And I'm trying to get my hand as steady as possible. Okay, so see how it's going to ready to ask a question. Mm-hmm. So is my birthday July 13th? And I've learned to use this in a way where it just starts to just go there, you know.
Right, you're not really consciously moving it.
Oh no, if you could feel what I'm talking about, you would. Right. So then all of a sudden I would say stop. I need to ask another question, right. And it really wants to answer if you notice. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's that's very interesting. Unfortunately, we're kind of out of time, so maybe we can come back and talk about that some other time. But, Jeff, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. I enjoyed having you.
Oh, I enjoyed being here. Thank you for having me. I hope...
Well, I just want to thank my special guest this month, Jeff Hamlin, for being my guest. I thought it was a very interesting interview. He really covered a lot of different things and more to cover, so maybe he can come back some other time. I also want to thank Brandon McKay for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I always appreciate his help. And right now I want to announce that WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking will be presenting our 6th annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014. And this will be going on from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and the Henry Ford Community College Student and Culinary Arts Center. If you would be interested in joining us as a vendor, reader, or body healer for this exciting premier holistic event, all you have to do is contact us by calling 313-483-2555 or email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, the phone number is 313-483-2555. Or the email address is holistic2010@peoplepc.com. I want to thank you for letting this be known to you, and we look forward to seeing you there at the fair. Once again, I want to thank everybody for helping me out, including Jeff Hamlin and, of course, Brandon McKay. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody. The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford. WHFR, Dearborn.
On February 19th, from 7 p.m. until 1 a.m., WHFR will be airing the national broadcast of the 16th Homelessness Marathon. Join founder, director, and host Jeremy Alderson as he explores the growing epidemic of homelessness in America. Homelessness is not just a big city issue, it's a global issue with thousands of people homeless right here in our own country. It could be anyone, male, female, young, old, and from all walks of life. Hear, learn, and understand the many causes of homelessness and what you can do to help. So please make it a point to join us for the 16th National Homelessness Marathon airing February 19th at 7 p.m. Broadcasting throughout the country nationally and airing here locally on 89.3 WHFR Dearborn. For more information or how you can help, please visit news.homelessnessmarathon.org.
WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring